您现在听到的是精简版的 Roundtable 节目，想收听并下载一小时完整节目，可以打开网站 CRIEZFM.com 点击 Roundtable。 Podcast 用户可以搜索圆桌会议。The Chinese food culture will launch the second application for UNESCO's Intangible Cultural Heritage List. What are the possible cuisines included in this bid, and do you think we have a hope of making it to the list? 中国美食将再次申报世界非物质文化遗产。这次申遗的重点项目有哪些美食呢？另外，中餐的申遗有哪些优势和劣势呢？ But still, I want to ask this question first. Do you think it's necessary for Chinese food to bid for this UNESCO list?
Why is it necessary? This is the part I don't really understand. China has, as a nation, already has 38 items on the UNESCO's representative list of the intangible cultural heritage of humanity. How fancy does that sound? And I think that adds prestige, and that's what a lot of the local officials are, the reason why they're going for it with such great zealous.
Yes, that's right, because it's one of these lists, and, you know, officials and people, they like to, you know, if someone else is on a list, they want to be on it too, if it's a positive list, don't they? So they want to get China on there. I can fully understand the motivation for it. However, I disagree on a fundamental, which is this, that food is not intangible. You can touch food, you can eat it, it has a taste, it has a smell. Food is a tangible cultural heritage. Not intangible.
But there's also... Okay, correct me if I'm wrong, Xiaohua. Mm-hmm. My understanding is that when we're trying to, we're saying that Chinese food, the concept that includes the food itself, it includes cooking methods, it includes, like, the cultural element surrounding it that is supposed to represent a Chinese people. You know, There's like so many things in amalgamated into it. So
we're talking about the idea of Chinese food. That's intangible, really. Yeah. Okay. And I think it's good. And what surprises me is why they had to apply twice. To me, it seems like, what do you call it in American English? A no-brainer.
Yeah, a no-brainer.
To me, it seems like a no-brainer that Chinese food should be on this UNESCO Intangible Cultural Heritage List. And I think French food is on there, isn't it? I imagine that Italian food must be on there with the pizzas and all the pasta dishes. To me, it makes perfect sense. And the hamburger would be on there for German culture.
Well, I don't know. Not all these representative food in different countries are on it. I think French food is on it, Mediterranean's on it, Mexican food is on it, and then we also had in 2013 kimchi made it to the list, and what is the other one? The Huaishi Liaoli in English is
Washoku,
is on it as well. So not all countries are eager to put their country's cuisine on the list.
It seems a bit, I mean, it does seem a bit silly. All we're going to end up with is like one massive international menu, really, isn't it? You know, of Spanish tapas, for example, English, British fish and chips, or actually a deep-fried Mars bar in Scotland, and prawns on the barbecue in Australia. It seems like we'll just end up with a list of sort of national stereotypical food items on this list. But having said that, there might be some other reason for doing this, which is to do with intellectual copyright and all that kind of stuff. You know, intellectual property rights and so forth. That can sometimes, I think, come into this kind of thing. Because we've had this before in the European Union with names of things like...
Bordeaux?
Bordeaux or Champagne is a good example.
Champagne
being a region of France, only fizzy white wine from that area can be called Champagne. And there was a case in the European government or parliament about this, I think, ruling on this, because, you know, there are lots of Spanish producers of more or less the same stuff, but they have to call it Méthode Champenoise, the Champagne method. They can't call it Champagne. So there is a certain amount of protecting a nation's own products, you know, which is actually a very tangible thing for them to be doing and wanting to be on this list, to kind of register it.
I think there is a lot of prestige factors involved as well. Also, when you're on this list, it's good for protecting your own culture and your own heritage, because apparently I think there will be some money as well allocated to this. But the thing is that after Chinese netizens knew that Zhongcan is going to apply for UNESCO cultural heritage list again, people come up with all sorts of dishes. For example, Peking duck, dumplings, mooncakes. I hate mooncakes, I have to say that. And Lanzhou la mian, things like that. But they have not known the fact that it's not a specific dish that's going to be made into that list. It's a whole package of cultural related food culture that's going to be on the list.
The other thing is that to establish, and I don't know if this is a positive thing really, to establish which nation created a certain food item, it might just mean that we can do without this kind of thing if it's going to mean some more international squabbling. For example, the hamburger that I mentioned earlier, you know, it might be that the United States would like to say that that's their intangible cultural heritage dish, but actually, as the name suggests, it's a German invention, you know, from Hamburg in Germany. The Frankfurter sausage and the hot dog from Frankfurt in Germany. So again, it might lead to all sorts of either clarification or one country unnecessarily claiming. I mean, the last thing we want is some squabbling between nations about who owns the sausage.
And that's exactly the kind of squabbling that I think netizens would enjoy. Otherwise, how do we spend the handful of time we have? So, for me, I still think this is a bit ridiculous. Why is a term so abstract being, you know, on a bed right now? And I don't really see the point of it, because I think for Chinese cuisine, it's already popular as it is, and it's already spreading without the need of protection. You know, you can see it everywhere all over the world.
I have a different piece of opinion
from
Yu Heyang. There is one thing that makes me think that it is necessary. It's exactly because of the misunderstanding of what Chinese food is and what Chinese dishes are like by the Western population. Because yes, on the one hand, there are lots of Chinese restaurants abroad, but on the other hand, what are they serving? It's not called food. Well, it's not called Chinese food. Just because you serve some kung pao, general sauce chicken, or some lemon chicken, or whatever you call it, you cannot call that Chinese food, because it's not good at all.
Sure, I know what you mean, because some of the dishes that that I'm familiar with are not found in China.
Exactly.
But they are found in British Chinese restaurants. So maybe on the ones that are universal, like, for example, steamed rice, then you could have something on the menu around the world saying this dish is an intangible Chinese dish.
Yeah, and maybe you can have the real kung pao chicken instead of the general sauce chicken. Yeah.
Well, what's the real kung pao chicken or the real dish? I think
people all over the world,
they have their own variations to the same dish. I don't see there's anything wrong with that.
Well, but I still think that the ones in China are much better tasting. So we have to spread that to the world and make the correction.
I think it should suit the local palate. That's what's the golden rule.
All right.